Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Yesterday was National Threatened Species Day.
Oh, really? There's a day for everything, isn't there?
Mm.
This one makes sense, though.
This one's basically to mark or to raise awareness about the many species that are under threat here in Australia. You know, like your quokkas, your bilbies, your Eddie Maguires, all sort of the native Australians that are under threat. And to sort of mark the occasion, the Australian sort of film archive, they've been tinkering with footage of a certain animal, a well-known animal that we did drive into extinction way back in the 1930s, the Tassie Tiger.
The National Film and Sound Archive of Australia has released the footage in colour.
We've been able to draw out and allow people to rediscover new details through this wonderful digitisation of the film.
The original was filmed in 1933 and is the longest surviving footage of the extinct marsupial.
Yeah, in the footage is the Tasmanian tiger known as Ben, and obviously quite a while back, so that footage has always been in black and white until now.
God, what have they done? Remastered digitally?
Kind of, yeah.
James Cameron?
It's kind of funny because, you know, the only people who are old enough to remember what a Tasmanian tiger looked like is, like, you know, maybe Ida Buttrose or some of the audience from Studio 10, but even they couldn't remember. So they had to, like, really go to great lengths to figure out what the actual colours of the Tasmanian tiger were.
Yeah.
Because there's no existing footage or photographs that have it in colour. So it's kind of like they had to, like, rely on eyewitness accounts.
Colourists relied heavily on written descriptions.
Doing a lot of archival research into primary and secondary sources, looking through old records and accounts of descriptions.
So you want to hope there weren't people like you and I writing those descriptions, though, because both of us are colourblind.
I just imagine someone's at the cop shop describing it to one of those sketch artists. Yeah, it looked like that, and then it had a beak, and then it had horns and stuff.
I'm wondering if back in the day it was that optical illusion dress of its time. Like, people would debate, no, what the Tassie Tiger's gold, mate. It's definitely blue, I'm telling you. That would make it very confusing for these colourists. So, amazing stuff. Hopefully they'll be able to develop 3D pictures or holograms for all the wildlife that we're driving into extinction with our poor environmental policies for future generations. But it's good to see what the Tasmanian tiger finally looks like. I just love the fact that we call it a tiger.
Oh, yeah, we're claiming it, aren't we? Like, yep, it's a tiger.
It's got stripes. It's a tiger. Like the platypus, originally, they saw it had a duck bill, and they went, oh, yeah, munted duck. That was the original name for the platypus. Like the rainbow lorikeet, they saw that, went, yep, gay pigeon. That was the original name. Not many people realised that. So, great work. Check it out online if you get the chance. If you've always wondered, I wonder what the Tasmanian tiger really looks like when it's coloured. They're also hoping they can use this coloration technology, Hutsy, for other Australian animals. Like right now, they're working on remastering black and white video of the last grand final won by the Parramatta Eagles.
Ooh,
I know, so deep. Long ago.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
If you were to break up the different Australian states into family members, you'd have New South Wales, which is one that's loud and can get obnoxious after a couple of beers. You've got
always taking sickies.
Yeah, exactly right. You've got Queensland, which is like that uncle that's always telling you stories and being slightly annoying as well. But
The one that's a bit racist.
Yeah. When I think of South Australia, I think of it like one of the distant cousins. Maybe you only hear from it if there's big news.
Yeah.
They're sort of a bit too quiet all of a sudden. Maybe they might be at a family gathering and they'll be like, oh, yeah. Oh, you haven't seen me for a couple of years, but yeah, this is what's happening now. And you're like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
We should talk more.
It's the one where ScoMo might go, oh, cousin South Australia just had a baby. It was a little girl. And you're like, oh, great.
What was their name? Which side of the family? Oh, that side of the family. Yeah. They're a little bit like that. We only hear stories from there if there's something bizarre. Unfortunately, every time someone mentions South Australia, I think of barrels in an old bank. Unfortunately, that's what I think of when I think of South Australia. But
you think the balls at Rundle Mall?
Yeah.
That's it.
And you hear stories about their power going out occasionally.
Lots of churches. That's South Australia.
That's about it. But this story could be maybe defining the way we look at South Australia. Like, crime over there still happens. But this crime is just something absolutely ridiculous. I had to do a double take when I heard about this story of a couple of criminals involving an ice cream factory.
Police have given the scoop on a chilling crime at Nailsworth. Two thieves loading up a wheelie bin with ice cream taken from the Golden North factory on Main North Road overnight.
That's right. A couple of thieves on CCTV walking down the street with a dog, with a harness, and all of a sudden they decide to just break into the little ice cream factory and steal some ice creams.
Were they named Ben and Jerry?
Maybe. These two, it's just ridiculous. Like, you're walking down the road with the dog and you're like, oh, you know what? I could use an ice cream. You want an ice cream? Oh, yeah. No servos around. Let's just try and steal some ice creams.
Yeah.
Ridiculous situation. Broke into one of the freezers, propped this thing open, and they actually found like a recycling bin nearby, cleared that out of all its cardboard and just started loading up with ice creams.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And must have a hell of a freezer at home.
That's what I reckon.
It's like, just going to eat them all right there.
Unless there's a demand on like the black market for frozen ice creams I didn't know about. Like, what are you doing with all this? There's no way you could fit them anywhere.
I mean, I don't know if South Australia's in lockdown. If it is, there's no kids out in the park that's going to be running after. You're just going to push that bin down the street playing green sleeves on your phone. Ding, 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 ding. Come on, kids. We've got ice creams. Who doesn't love an ice cream straight out of the recycle bin?
Grown-ups handing out ice creams without a truck. That's a little bit sus as well, isn't it? But it was actually most of them before the Royal Adelaide Show, which was cancelled recently. So that's why they had a fair bit stocked up and stuff as well. But this just, it absolutely amazes me. And then they turned up, because it happened during the week, and they turned up on the Monday morning, saw the CCTV, and like, hang on a sec. The freezer's been wedged open here. Around $3,500 to $4,000 worth of ice creams.
Oh, wow.
Yep, because they got
that
quite
must
a few.
Have been the good ice creams. Were these like Ego Magnums or
maybe
something? Maybe. The connoisseur ones.
Whoa, the ones where you pay $9 for a litre of ice cream.
The fancy ice
cream. Yeah, so they got a fair bit in the wheelie bin, as I mentioned, but obviously, they left the freezer sort of propped half open, so they had to throw out the majority of the ice creams because they all just melted. What a waste.
They're trying to cover their ice cream tracks. Destroy the evidence.
Not too smart criminals, these two. You can see their faces fairly decently on the CCTV footage. I imagine they will probably be getting caught very soon as well. As for the dog, not sure what's going to happen to him if he's, you know, an accessory to crime or something like that.
Dogs can't have ice cream, so I don't imagine he should get done for his involvement in this.
These two criminals seem a bit too stupid for that sort of thing. I reckon they probably wouldn't even know about you can't giving dogs ice cream. But I just imagine when they step in front of a judge, if they get caught, they'll be pulling like the, you know, the brain freeze defense. Oh, we had brain freeze. We weren't thinking straight as well. And he's like, okay, then, if you want to go down that route, I'm going to send you to a place where you can get all the Golden Gay time you want, buddy.
Oh, jeez.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.
The vaccination rates rise. There seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel and much relief on the way, hopefully, for not only our health workers out there, but also our retail workers. Those people that have to deal with the public.
Yep.
It'd be tough each day.
These guys would be getting absolutely smashed. Just imagine being someone who works in one of the supermarket chains when all of a sudden the panic buying first started.
Yeah.
It'd be like you would have to have your security license as well. They actually had to get security guards to guard the toilet paper at some stages. It got that bad.
These guys are going to have like PTSD COVID flashbacks whenever they smell hand sanitizer.
It's going to be triggering.
They'll end up on the floor. No more, please. And at the moment, you know, we're getting a lot of reports that some of the supermarket chains are having very hard times when it comes to staffing levels because, as you can imagine, if you're in a job where you're dealing with the public a lot, there's a lot, it's an increased chance of community transmission of the coronavirus.
It's almost like we should add supermarket workers to frontline workers.
Yeah.
Basically, the amount of people they're exposed to every day.
They do not get enough praise and recognition for their efforts. And some of the big retail chains are doing their best to try and fill the gap that's being created by people in their teams getting sick.
At any given day, there's about 6,000 supermarket workers and distribution workers in isolation, which puts a real stress on those who are still left to carry the load.
Audi has announced it has 1,000 positions to fill, Woolworths looking for hundreds to bolster its distribution chain.
Yeah, the big supermarket retailers are hiring staff at the moment because they are losing a lot of staff, getting sick with COVID-19, having to spend time in isolation, or as Coles puts it. So if you're looking for work at the moment, might be worth getting in touch with Aldi or Woolworths or Coles even putting your resume in.
That many people across that many supermarkets, is there like just like a sticky hotline where you call when you're not coming in because all of a sudden you've got to self-isolate? It's just someone manning the office just answering phone calls all day going, all right, email to this office, this person's not coming in, this person's not coming in.
That person needs a holiday if that's one person in charge of all
that. If that job exists, definitely.
As much as I love doing the show with you each morning, when I hear about stories like this, I'm like, you know, I wouldn't mind trying my hand at this job because I always feel like I missed out. Like when I was in high school, I had friends that, you know, their first job was
night
at Woolies,
and things like
doing
that.
Things like that, or working the checkouts, you know. And I never did it. So I always feel like I missed out on my chance to be like, you know, well, we used to call them checkout chicks back then because they always put the girls on the checkouts. But these days it's more of an equal opportunity thing.
Yeah, I'd like to, if I was working at one of the major supermarkets or a supermarket, I'd like to be like the night fill because it'd be like I wouldn't have to worry about paying for a gym membership. I could just be a tight ass and just like lifting all the boxes and that. For me on the checkout, I'd struggle. Like, even though we talk for a living on here, just small talk, I'd just be oh, God, here we go. Like a hairdresser, after a while, I'd be like, there's nothing left to talk. I've talked about everything all day for 8 hours of people with small talk. It's just, I'm over it.
So you just stop asking people how's their day been? You're just like, they start telling you about their day. You're like, I don't want to know.
That's it.
Just let me beep your things through.
I'd have it written on a little badge on my shirt just saying, just get on with it.
When you were saying skipping the gym membership, I was just imagining the floor manager yelling at you because you're like, instead of stacking the cans of tomatoes, you're doing like bicep curls. I'll just finish up these reps and I'll get it on the shelf. Yeah.
Customers will be asking me what offer this, and I'd just be leaning over going, hang on a sec, I'm just about to finish this set. I'll answer the question in a sec.
Now, if you do try to join up with one of the supermarket chains, of course, there is a lot of training involved, not just in, you know, dealing with customers and ringing up items and all that sort of thing. There's also all the stuff to do with COVID safety.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a lot tougher these days to work in
retail.
A lot
of boxes to tick.
So you've got to help people scan their QR codes, make sure they've got their masks on. And it's a very grueling training regime they have at the supermarkets. We've got a little snippet here of some of the staff being trained on how to run the checkouts while they've got their face masks on.
Get moving! Come on!
You should be sucking that air in through your...
It's like, that's tough, man.
Just imagine these guys if you go for the 12 items or less line with more than 12 items. Jeez.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.